Hammersmith, get over.
So then give a busy, the rail strike and the video. We'll know by tomorrow at this time that this can't be any other one.
Why?
We must know by tomorrow at this time because they wouldn't be so discourteous as when we want to announce it on Thursday, not tell it. If we hadn't made the effort, and if then Rogers and Smith had gone around saying if they had run it, they would certainly not have settled for that word. This way, we...
Settled for that word. Hell, they just settled for ABM alone.
Okay.
We all know that. Or from the beginning, you never build ABM. Once getting it, you've given it up.
And Ziegler and Scali see that immediately. But Ziegler also said that to Scali. Hell, all the lips are saying ABM only. I said, that's right.
That's right.
Now that will sink in, all right. That it just cannot be that they will not let by tomorrow noon we'll have heard them.
And if we hear just put everything on full blast, I wouldn't screw around with them. I'd go on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
I just have to get Rogers in time. I just got the word. He's somewhat prepared for it because he knows I want to see him and put it over. I said, well, he'd often get something. He didn't. I don't get it. Not that he'd do.
No, no. It has the additional advantage that there's less danger of leakage than the end that lay it now simultaneously.
Yeah. Insurance.
Mr. President, this year, the chances are better than even that we'll get this salt, well, the salt thing. This first announcement, the salt thing, the Berlin Agreement, a Middle East thing, maybe a Chinese announcement, maybe a summit. We get four of them, and I don't even dare to speak of a Vietnam summit. But if, supposing we got all these six, this would be the greatest year in American post-war.
Can't make it. No, sir. I'm going to sit on the hill. Well, we can't. I can't go to Fort Benson. But it is in the vicinity of the final mark on Thursday. That'll still, that's okay. That's still okay. And if I open up some time before then, I'll let know. It's 5 o'clock Thursday, 7 o'clock. It's okay. By God, I tell you, we should have some system whereby people that go abroad for their own purposes, according to the president, how then, you know, they really know that I'm not meeting these guys. Of course, they have. Obi goes abroad, he's got to come back and report to me. Oh. Sands has got to come back and report to me. Rocky's going to take the trip to London.
Martin sent me an anguish letter, and he sent a copy of it to Volpe, that Volpe shouldn't go there now because they have municipal elections on June 13th. And Volpe wasn't very eager to go. He called me and said he'd just as soon go later. So I said, fine. I didn't have to turn him off. As it turned out, he didn't much want to talk.
No, I didn't want
to. He always says that what really moves him is the confidence you have in him. You give him all these diplomatic assignments. Anytime you see him, you're sending him off somewhere, he says.
Yeah. Well, that poor guy, he's got
he is one of the real...
But he is a little cautious.
He is a clown.
He was considered by the president quite serious. Considered himself at least quite serious.
For president?
And one of the he and the last three of the four were considered the vice president Kobe. Lindsay was one, Romney was one. Nagel was one. That's who we were choosing.
Lindsay would have been them. Complete disaster. You would have had the opposition.
Merciful heaven.
Romney would have been a little better, but still too unreliable and too egomaniacal.
He's just dumb.
And he's a total egomaniac. He might have had a divine call to do almost anything.
I think, you know, why was Nelson so stupid to support Romney? Was it just a stalking horse operation?
No. But as I remember it, you know, Nelson ran a very strange operation because I was very close to him on foreign policy.
Not the
involvement. He almost never discussed politics with me. He's got this idea that specialists handle everything. So he'd never have a meeting of all of his advisors. He'd deal with his foreign policy specialists, his political specialists. But insofar as I could make out in 67, he really was not eager to run then, or didn't think he would run.
And he wanted to be with somebody, so he picked George Romney as the governor
who got the most votes. But he pretty soon, and by the fall, he knew he wasn't going to make it. And from then on, I thought he'd probably played his own game. Okay. But he's always...
Anyway, when you stop to think of the fact of the year 1968, those are the people we consider vice president. You talk about Agnew, he would certainly have the shoulders above these others, don't you agree?
Oh, no question.
Agnew's got more character and brains than either any one of those men.
And he's behaved with great dignity here.
He's got a dignity, yes.
And
he's taken a hell of a lot of bells.
Thank you. he's been the subject of a really vicious campaign.
Pretty vicious. Well, because he told the truth about the press. He did nothing more. You know, really. But they will never tolerate it. I don't have too many complaints about the press. Their attacks, I think really, in my case, what we really have to complain about is legitimately is that they give us no credit, or damn precious little credit.
That's where they
are. Mark for great achievements. I mean, hell, I can have a press conference and make a significant speech in the Bastards. They never say a word.
No, that's where they are on trust.
But their attacks on me, at least they're not as vicious and personal as they were on Johnson. I don't give too many targets.
Well, the fact though, Mr. President, that you have performed, whatever may happen, a spectacular foreign policy achievement to get 300,000 troops out of Vietnam in the face of constant riots in this country, without the country there collapsing, restoring the faith in the alliance, getting the Russians never to challenge you, facing them down.
The ships out of Cuba.
The ships out of Cuba. The
Jordan.
The Jordan thing. The Cambodia decision.
And Laos looks better every day.
Laos looks better every day, and it may. And after all, as I said, at this time next week, we'll probably look back on this day and sort of think it's one of the chores that you have to wait for a phone call from these sons of bitches on a 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No question.
What?
It's such a pain in the neck. They're just a bunch of thugs. It's basically, they cannot do anything generously. It's not in their nature. If we had not had ABM, if we had done all the things Jerry Smith wanted us to do, whittling our concessions out a little at a time so that we had nothing left. If we had done the trade when they wanted to, I mean, we can now really let the trade begin to open up. It shouldn't go all the way yet. Because
we stopped the trade. That's been right. We've done a little bit of other things, like keeping cattle off the champagne jumpers over there.
Oh, we've played a tough, tight game, and it's now paying off. Bryce Harlow, with whom I had lunch today, said that he was very pleased to see you lead that foreign policy establishment. He said, overkill help. He said the significance of that group was that for the first time, all these old guys who used to come in and regularly fight under Kennedy and Johnson and Eisenhower were now behind President Nixon.
Yeah, they all supported Johnson, even Eisenhower. But he didn't agree with Rogers on that.
Absolutely not.
Because it's basically Rogers' state, the whole damn bunch down there. McGregor was your building, wasn't
he? Oh, yeah.
Whether it's right or not, we were helping, we did it.
Oh, we certainly, Mr. President, gained from it. Without it, we would have had nothing. That's what got us the headlines for 3 days. I think the Mansfield Amendment is defeated. What is now, if now we had a bunch of men in the Senate, we'd be in good shape.
Our position, I guess, must be right at the last. So. No. I think the position must be not to let any of our guys off the hook. You say we, without getting out fighting, we just can't do that. We want to have another deal. But we're not going to approve any of them. Right?
Unless they come up with one during the day that we can go along with. But I don't see what it would be.
Well, if they can say that, if they can put in the first paragraph of the Mansfield Amendment, a bias and all that is sent to the Senate,
but even the
the first paragraph saying we support NATO, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it was sent to the Senate
we cannot accept when they say we request the president to enter negotiations. That's not their constitutional right. They can't make you do something. If they said we favor continuation of the policy or acceleration, that's one thing. And they cannot say that the purpose is to reduce forces unilaterally in NATO.
Sit in that meeting where we were all sitting there. They, none of those guys are experts. They're Irvin and Johnson and Blair. We all are talking about this. How in the name could they sit in there and go out and do anything if they're in the middle of the country to go out and vote down all the amendments?
They have.
Jesus Christ, didn't you think it was compelling?
None of them had another case. All they were doing was wailing, we've got to be for something.
Thank you. There's a silver mess made for it.
Oh, no question.
You got the announcement on my plans at the press conference.
Next week. Yes, that'd be a good one for that.
But if the announcement goes over to next week, I'm not going to have a press conference the same week I have the announcement. I'm just wasting. The other thing I'm sorry about the announcement, which you... No. But it'd be well sometime to make one. Johnson and others are making one prime time. Just go out and whack it.
Well, time just doesn't...
No,
time
it's going to be simultaneous. You can't make it.
Got to be simultaneous.
It's got to be
simultaneous. Got to be simultaneous.
Mr. Rush is fast. I know there's something that I'm going to do. Hold it open.
I was in for 15 minutes, and I forget why I had to leave, but there was something.
That's all. You remember what you're talking about.
Well, at that time, I said to everybody that the time I was here, which was at least half the time, no commitment of any kind was made. When I was here, it was a purely sort of social...
That's right. He was talking about how much he improved our speech, you know.
Oh, yes, sir.
And so forth. He was a good person. He made me talk about that. Very different attitude towards Jeffers. Jeffers is quite honest about what he is. He says, I know it.
he's got his constituency.
Yeah. But I don't expect anything from him. I expect to get kicked from the D-Bot. These other bastards claim to be Republicans. The rest, they don't have to be slaughtering those people. That's the difference.
That's
the difference.
And Travis isn't Zach Kimoni. For example,
Travis is straight cold blood.
Travis called me last night about the Messiah's Amendment. I said I was against it. I told you that. He said, I expect this from you. I said, that's not important what you expect from me. The point is that I don't understand how you, Jake Travis, can be for it.
Yeah.
Now, if I had said this to Percy or Messiah, they would have fled all over me. But he knew I was right. He said, well, I'll go back, take another look at it. At least he didn't give me the... these guys,
go on, then they go under a great thing, but you know, I've got so much principle, as if we didn't have it.
That's right, and they are trying to save you. There's no communication. Communication for them means you agree with them. And as soon as there is a hot situation...
They're really like the kids, aren't they? When they talk about communication, they mean, here's our demand, and I'll agree.
Well, it is really sad. A man like Percy...
I'm not going to get Percy.
...could be a potential... could at least be thought of as a presidential candidate. Instead,
he never will.
He will always be a Boy Scout.
Yeah, because he's all over the lot.
He's all over the lot. Nobody trusts him. Nobody respects him.
All right. I listen.